We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX, brought to you by our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. My name is Derek Montilla. Of course, I am occasionally known as your mayor of PHNX, and I'm joined by my vice mayor, the one and only Thunderstick Jesse Friedman.
Derek, here we are. Not as fun, not being in the same place today. It's a boring audio podcast, but rumor has it that you all might be seeing a little bit more of us in the studio together moving forward. So we are excited for that.
Oh, that's not a spoiler. That is a spoiler, Jesse. What are you doing giving stuff away? But yes, as he said, we are very excited to not only have Jesse here in Phoenix once again and be doing our thing as a duo, but we will be changing up our format a little bit. We kind of talked to you guys a bit in the Discord just to get your thoughts and opinions on it. And going forward, starting next week, you will be able to catch Jesse and myself live 5 days a week. Right here on the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. We will still be putting out our podcast on your favorite audio podcasting app. So if you missed the live show, or if you just want to consume us in an audio only version because Jesse and myself are too breathtakingly handsome for you to take in on video version, then the audio version will be available for you. But going forward, that's where you guys are going to find us, right here on PHNX, 12:30 on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday or Thursday, depending on which day is the final game of the D-back series. But then we will still be doing our post-series wrap-up on Sundays and the middle of the week series, depending on when that ends. So make sure to join us here all the time on gophnx.com and the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. It's where we'll be. You guys can join us, chat, comment with us, do all that stuff. We want you guys to be a part of the show. We love doing these audio podcasts, but the one thing that we find that is missing from this show is you. So we are very excited to be in studio together and to be bringing you this podcast as a live version a little bit more often. So I hope you guys enjoy that. If you get sick of us, please make sure to let us know. That way we know we have to dial it back. We gotta go back to audio podcasting form, whatever we need to do. But of course, we thank you guys for your support and for being here. And we are excited to talk about what is going on with this Arizona Diamondbacks team. Of course, yesterday was an off day. We talked about some of our favorite things to do on an off day. We were bored. We were bored. The Diamondbacks were off. Jesse, the Reno Aces were off. The Hillsboro Hops were off. The Visalia Rawhide were off. Everybody was off. They left us completely alone without baseball yesterday, and I'm furious at this organization for doing that.
Yeah, it's a pretty bizarre day. I mean, that doesn't happen very often where every single part of the organization, not only the major league team, but all the minor league teams, like you mentioned.
No sod poodles games. What?
That's the real tragedy when the sod poodles aren't in action. And then we don't get to see Corbin Carroll play when the sod poodles aren't in action. So it's a loss for everyone all the way around.
Speaking of which, Jesse, I uncovered an amazing tale today of someone on the Twitter, who purchased a Corbin Carroll baseball card, autographed and graded. I believe it said it was 5 of 5. I'm not very familiar with a lot of things trading card related. That's why we need to bring our buddy Rock Knowledge back to drop some knowledge on us about the trading card game and what exactly was going on with this deal. But this person purchasing a Corbin Carroll baseball card paid Jesse $30,000 for it. 30, small comma, big zero, big fucking zero, and huge zero at the end. But $30,000 they paid for this card that somehow has now been lost in the mail.
Oh my gosh.
There's a $30,000 autographed Corbin Carroll baseball card floating around in the Las Vegas USPS center somewhere. And it is becoming a point of topic for a lot of card traders, people that collect, you know, cards, collectibles, all that stuff. It's very, very sad, very disturbing that someone could pay that much money for a card to get lost in the mail. Seems like there wasn't a lot of thought put into ordering insurance on said card.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a lesson that everyone should learn right now. When you when you have something in the mail that is as valuable as like a brand new car, you might want to get the insurance on that bad boy.
Jesse, I wouldn't even pay $30,000 for a car. I'm not paying that much on a car. The market is hard right now not to pay that much, but woof. What I do find really interesting is that a Corbin Carroll card, Jesse, is worth $30,000. Like, yeah, does that move the needle for you about the importance of this guy?
I mean, that's insane in my head. I mean, I assume is this eBay? Is this like a bidding war? And that's like,
I'm not
what
sure.
It
I think
to?
This is beyond that. I think this is like, because we're talking about high dollar collectibles versus eBay being like I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's things that go for tens of thousands of dollars on eBay as well, like cars and such like that, like you said. I just don't know exactly the process in which this card was purchased. However, I do know like there are very wealthy trading card owners in this country, and they, you know, they have a way to connect with each other. They have a system. They, you know, they go to conventions, they meet each other. So like all of this has probably been done through, you know, that kind of collectors sellers network. The person selling the card seemed pretty reputable based on what I saw people saying about him. And it kind of turned into a bit of a disagreement because it sounded like the seller was blaming the guy that purchased the card, claiming that he might have received the card without having been made to sign for it, thus claiming he didn't get it and trying to get his $30,000 back. There's a lot of stuff involved with this thing. I didn't want to start choosing sides because, quite frankly, the idea of sending a $30,000 collectible in the mail is fucking insane to me. Not to mention the fact that someone revealed at some point that the two parties were only 3 hours away from each other. And had I been purchasing something for $30,000, I think I'm willing to make that 3-hour drive to collect my goods in person rather than trusting the U.S. fucking PS. But that's just me. I've had things way less valuable lost by the Postal Service, so I am not sending something like that. At least without some insurance. But again, just a reminder, Corbin Carroll, he will not be here until April 2023. So
you think is that the story you're sticking to, Derek? You think I'm there's no possibility of a September call up?
They have the Super 2, right? So it's like we could get it sometime around this time of the year, but I just don't know. I don't think that the Diamondbacks are in a position to really jeopardize what he's doing in the minor leagues and his, you know, the production that he is outputting now is great, but you know, minor league guys go through this process for a reason, right? And we talked about it a bit yesterday in answering the questions. I just don't think they want to jeopardize his future by calling him up too early at this point.
Right.
You know, he's not going to make a big enough impact on the major league roster to start winning games for this team necessarily right out of the gate, even if he's very productive. So it really is a matter of, you know, his progression as a minor league player and not interrupting that at this point.
I think it's important to mention here that under the new collective bargaining agreement, and I talked about this in my article about Alec Thomas the other day, because it sort of relates to him as well. If a player finishes in the top two in rookie of the year voting in their league, they get a full year of service for that season. And so that being said, if the Diamondbacks call up Corbin Carroll in September, he's not going to get there. At this point, it is impossible for Corbin Carroll to get a full year of service for 2022. There's no way it can happen. If they call him up tomorrow, he's not going to play enough to finish top two in rookie of the year. And so there's no way that that could happen. So from that standpoint, calling him up in September actually might not be that different from waiting, you know, the number of days that you need to. It's usually around like late April, roughly, that you would have to wait to bring him up in order to keep him from getting a full year of service next year. But what I'm saying is that if Corbin Carroll finishes top two in rookie of the year voting next year, it's not going to matter if the Diamondbacks call him up in late April, or if they call him up right at the beginning of the season, or if they call him up this September. All of those situations would have the same outcome from a service time standpoint, just by virtue of this new CBA situation. And I think we obviously, it's no guarantee. There's an adjustment period for guys coming up. We don't want to assume that Corbin Carroll is going to finish top two in rookie of the year voting. But I mean, if and when he comes up next season, he is going to be in that conversation from the very beginning.
Don't fucking backtrack now, Jesse. You already said it. You already put it out there. Corbin Carroll, rookie of the year next season. It's not a prediction. It's a spoiler per Jesse Friedman. That's
there
all.
There you go. Yes, I am reporting that. I am reporting that as news. Exactly.
It's a fact. It is a fact. Well, another fact is that Jesse did write about our five takeaways. He also wrote, like he said, about Alec Thomas, five takeaways from the series with the Detroit Tigers, as well as Alec Thomas's rookie of the year chances. And you can get both of those articles over at gophnx.com. If you haven't signed up to become a member already, please do so. If you sign up to become an annual member, you will get our free t-shirt, a free t-shirt, not our free t-shirt. They're all our shirts, but you get a free t-shirt of your choosing over at the phnxlocker.com. Also, you get access to our members only Discord and access to members only discounts over at the phnxlocker.com. If you're not used or not interested, you don't want it in your life, the annual membership, you can go ahead and get down on the month-to-month membership, and you will get your first month for just 50 cents. Try us out, see if you like us, and then hopefully you stick around. Regardless of your membership status, you get those discounts to the phnxlocker.com, as well as members-only access to our Discord, where you guys can help us plan the show, decide if we should go every day live or not, and, you know, 12... going at 12:30. That's something that we went to our Discord to ask you guys about. Luckily, you guys were excited about the idea, and we are happy to bring it to you. So again, join us, become part of the PHNX family, and get down on the Discord where you can tell us exactly what you want to see out of this show, and all out of all the shows here at PHNX. That's what we're here for. We are a network by the people and for the people. Jesse, speaking of that, by the people and for the people, Zach Gallen is for the people. Zach Gallen is for the children, much like Wu-Tang Clan. And Zach Gallen, most likely, as we've discussed, is probably going to be the Arizona Diamondbacks' only all-star game representative this year. And that even that's not a guarantee, right? But the Diamondbacks will have at least one, member of their team on the all-star roster. And right now, Zach Gallen definitely looks like he is a front runner for that, even though, as Jesse uncovered today, he currently doesn't even qualify for the top stats in pitching.
Yeah, this is honestly kind of a shock to me. Just given what we've seen from Zach Gallen on the mound this season, I mean, a 2.79 ERA, although there's a bit of a discrepancy about his ERA that we're gonna get to in a second. We found some fascinating things about Zach Gallen.
We are going to put you on blast in a second.
It turns out that Zach Gallen's ERA is up for debate, depending on which website you look at right now. But the true ERA is 2.79. And if you look at wins above replacement, Derek, which is always, at least for me, the stat I'm going to start with when it comes to all-star voting, MVP voting, those kinds of things. Zach Gallen is currently 53rd among major league pitchers in wins above replacement. And believe it or not, Zach Gallen does not lead the Diamondbacks pitching staff in wins above replacement. He is actually in second place in wins above replacement because Merrill Kelly is actually ahead of Zach Gallen, and by a decent margin. Zach Gallen has 1.2 wins above replacement at this point in the season, whereas Merrill Kelly is at 1.6. He's currently 30th in the big league. So quite a bit closer to the front. I don't think that's to say that Merrill Kelly is going to be the all-star. I think there's still a good case here that Zach Gallen should be the guy. But it's not as much of a slam dunk as I think I would have expected, Derek. If you look at some of the underlying numbers on Zach Gallen, his strikeout rate this season is actually lower than what it's been in the past, which is not altogether a bad thing. His walk rate is actually also lower. And I think for him, that's a pretty good trade-off. There were times in the past couple years where it felt like, he was kind of trying to strike guys out. And when he does that, he can be a little bit more prone to nibbling off the corners and walking guys more than he would like to. So all in all, I do think he's had an excellent season. And I think there's still a good case here for him as an all-star. But let me just put it this way, Derek. If the Diamondbacks had someone else, if they had a position player who was a clear-cut all-star and they already had, that required one all-star set for them, I'm not sure that Zach Gallen would necessarily be a shoe-in to make the all-star team. His case, I think, is going to rely, at least right now, it relies a little bit on the fact that the Diamondbacks need an all-star. And on that front, I think he is the clear front-runner.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, his strikeouts are actually down right now for his lowest strikeout per nine ratio in his career.
Right.
But his ERA of 2.79 would qualify him for the 10th best ERA right now in the National League. So I'm with you there, though. I mean, some of his numbers aren't super impressive. I still find it fascinating that his 71 innings pitched is not enough to qualify, because you need
right.
one inning pitched per game on average, and the Diamondbacks have 74 games they've played, and right now he is at 71 innings pitched. Jesse pointed out, obviously, he'll be there after today's start, but there still is that, it doesn't seem like Zach Gallen has missed enough time to not qualify for anything this season at this point. It's just it's the way things work out. Why though? Why in the world, Jesse, can we not agree on what his ERA is?
Yeah.
Why is it that MLB.com and Baseball Reference have Zach Gallen's ERA at 2.79, meanwhile FanGraphs has it at
2.92. This is honestly something that I've never seen before, and you all know I'm kind of a stats nerd, so
we had to dig into this one a little bit.
Yeah, we have to dig into this one a little bit. So it turns out that yes, FanGraphs currently, this is prior to Zach Gallen's start on Tuesday night as we record this.
FanGraphs is wrong.
FanGraphs is absolutely wrong. That's what our research has unveiled. But we had to go in and we had to see what the reason was. So FanGraphs is at 2.92. As you said, the other websites are all in agreement at 2.79. And so we went through his game log and tried to figure out where the discrepancy was. And it turns out that Zach Gallen's most recent outing in San Diego, that's where the discrepancy was. It was just a few days ago. According to FanGraphs, Derek, Zach Gallen gave up 2 earned runs in that game. Whereas according to Baseball Reference and MLB.com and all the other sites, he gave up just 1 earned run in that game. And that's the difference between the 2.79 and the 2.92 ERA.
Jordan Luplow's error is the real difference there in that 1 run difference in ERA, right? And the way that
exactly.
It is viewed. It's again why Jesse and I have talked about some of those stats that are bullshit, like RBI, and errors, because with errors, it really is subjective. And that's still the wildest thing about it for a game that everything is kind of black and white. You know what I mean? The baseball does have so many stats that are subjective. Somebody looked at it and decided whether or not this guy could have made a play on it cleanly or not, whether or right. not it deserves to get an error. Some of them, yeah, they're clear cut, right? But the biggest problem with errors is guys that are gifted athletically that can have a bit more range than other guys, they're unfortunately going to look like they're getting more errors than someone who can't even get to the ball, because something as stupid as putting a glove on the ball can make it an error or not. They assumed if you were close enough to get a glove on it, that you should have made a play, no matter how spectacular the play would have needed to be made in order to actually, stop, get an out or do what you needed to do as a defender, right? So,
right.
Errors are still a bit wonky when it comes to that kind of stuff. And this is a perfect example of how wonky they can be from one website to the next.
Yeah, yeah. So what specifically happened here, and I didn't watch this game live. I was still on the road from Washington to Arizona. I think this is about the moment that my air conditioner broke down in Yuma. So fun memories. So basically what happened is Jordan Luplow ran back a ways in order to track down a fly ball. I think it was Kim from the Padres who was at the plate. And so he had a fly ball. Jordan Luplow tracks it down and it clanks off his glove. And so I didn't watch the game live, Derek, but what I can gather in retrospect is it was originally ruled a double, in which case the run would be earned. And then retroactively, the scorekeeper changed it into an error, which it's kind of on the edge, as you're talking about. You know, you don't want to penalize Jordan Luplow in that situation for getting to a ball that other guys wouldn't get to, but just falling a little bit short and having it clank off his glove. Based on what I saw, though, I think it probably is an error. It wasn't like a leaping, diving grab or anything. It's sure, a play that I sure. think a major league outfielder probably should make, and it clanked off his glove. Originally ruled a double, but retroactively ruled an error, and apparently FanGraphs just didn't adjust for that and still hasn't. So yep. If any of
and
you
they
want
to never send, will, they will refuse to as long as they live.
Yeah, they have their own scorekeeper, and they make their own, they play by their own rules over there. So
We're going to be tracking that for the rest of the season. So we'll see if this just it's almost like the multiverse of madness, right, Jesse? The Zach Gallen universe has been split, and now his ERA is going in two different directions. So we'll see if they can reconverge or if they will continue to splinter and go down these individual timelines that now Zach Gallen will have one ERA for one website and one ERA for another one. But regardless, this is baseball, and it's absolutely a ridiculous game, and it's why we love it. So we will be live, by the way, talking about baseball at Four Peaks 8th Street Pub all day tomorrow on Wednesday, along with the rest of our PHNX crew. We will all be there. We will all be there all day. We will all be enjoying Four Peaks' variety of delicious beers that they have to offer. We will be eating and being merry. And most importantly, we will be talking about sports and hanging out with you guys. So make sure to join us at Four Peaks all day on Wednesday. Come out for lunch, stay for dinner. I don't know. Make a day around it. Bring the
Four
family.
Peaks has excellent food. So that is a big win on Wednesday.
It's a big win. And a bigger win is to come and see me get bullied in real life by Sheerston Susel. That's a whole other thing, though. She's very mean to me. We will be there, though, and we hope you guys join us. If you can't join us, make sure to tune in, watch the shows live, maybe go to your local grocery store or liquor store, convenience store, grab yourself some Four Peaks, and enjoy along with us if you can't be there present. So regardless, be there with us on Wednesday because we're going to be having a great time. Must be 21 or older to enjoy Four Peaks, and please remember to enjoy responsibly. And speaking of enjoying responsibly, also check out our friends at OG's Brands. If you talk about a good afternoon of hanging out with us, you can do so with Four Peaks and OG's Brands. That's the perfect combination to stay at home, listen to an entire day of shows coming to you live, watch an entire day of shows coming to you live.
Yeah.
From Four Peaks,
and we'll be live. I think it's, correct me if I'm wrong, Derek, 5 p.m. I think we're the live last show of the day.
Yeah, we are the final show of the day. We are the main event.
Best for last. Yes, yeah. Best for last.
Of course.
Yep.
Of course. And of course, make sure to check out our friends at OG's if you haven't done so. We know we've talked about it a lot, but they've just released their limited edition seasonal flavor Pina Colada, which is a perfect combination of pineapple and creamy coconut. It's amazing. And OG's worries about flavor. And they not only bring you an amazing gummy, but an amazing gummy that tastes delicious. They have a variety of strains you can choose from. If you want to hang out with us and stay awake for our little thing over at the Four Peaks, make sure to grab yourself a sativa and get hype with us. And then when you need to go bed later in the day, you got yourself a fine indica to do so with. Not to mention the fact that OG's offers a variety of doses. You can get 10 milligram dose or a 3 milligram microdose. No matter what your preference is, what your speed is, you can get your right dose over at OG's. And that's important when it comes to your edibles. Remember what Derek says, you can't untake it. Once you bought the ticket, you're taking the ride. So check out OG's online at OG'sBrands.com and on Instagram at OG'sBrands. That's O G EEZ Brands. You can also find their products at your local dispensary. Must be 21 years or older to purchase. Oh, Jesse. And I'll tell you something. If I would have known what was going to happen between the Angels and the Mariners, I would have talked to the fellas over at OGs and got them to send an entire case of some calming indicas out to these teams, because shit got heated. Obviously, we talked a little bit about Jesse Winker receiving a pizza from a fan yesterday that went a little viral. That was kind of the fun side of it. But now today we are seeing the fallout from the brawl between the Angels and the Mariners. Yes, it was the same fight that you saw in Naked Gun, in the first Naked Gun movie, with Leslie Nielsen behind the plate as the umpire. But Jesse, it seemed like this not only fight was a bit out of hand, right? We don't typically see baseball fights get this nasty, but the suspensions being handed down are quite ugly as well. The Mariners, three players on the Mariners received suspensions. Jesse Winker, the person who got hit, received 7 games. Shortstop JP Crawford got 5 games, and center fielder Julio Rodriguez received 2 games. Meanwhile, on the Angels side, shit got a little bit crazier. Interim manager Phil Nevin, who's been in his job for what, like 20 days, got 10 games for the fight. Third baseman Anthony Rendon, who is currently on the injured list, got 5 games when he returns. And Jesse, he's not allowed back on the Angels bench for the next 7 games. But that's not even the half of it. So we have a couple of pitchers. Andrew Wants got 3 games. He was the starter slash opener. There was some accusations that Phil Nevin might have thrown him in specifically to throw at Jesse Winker and get redemption for what happened the previous day. Mike Trout was thrown at around his head. He didn't get hit, I don't believe, right? So this was just like some weird retaliation for a thing that almost happened, right? They have right-handed pitcher Ryan Tapera. Is that how you say it? I'm sure I'm saying that wrong.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Raisel Iglesias got 2 games. Jesse, bench coach Ray Montgomery got 2 games. Catching coach Bill Hasselman got 1 game. And in a move that just is fucking incredible, team interpreter Manny Del Campo got 2 games. I got to watch the video again to see Manny in the mix. What the fuck is happening here?
Oh, it's incredible. I also, so someone posted on Twitter that, I mean, Anthony Rendon, of course, poor guy, has hardly played since joining the Angels. He's basically just on the injured list all the time, basically. And so someone tweeted out something along the lines of the Angels are just paying Anthony Rendon like $35 million a year just to like knock the crap out of opposing players. Like that is the reason they are paying him so much. He gets paid the big bucks just to come after the opposing players in these bench clearing brawls.
Well, let me tell you, between him and Chris Bryant playing a fraction of the games this year for the Colorado Rockies that he was supposed to, my choices to start at third base for the Arizona Diamondbacks all look pretty bad right about now. I might have been spending money egregiously for this team based on my choices. But my favorite part about this was, there was an incident after the fight where everything kind of settled down. Players were getting thrown out of the game. Obviously, they weren't happy about it, but based on the whole fight, you know, everybody had gone to their respective corners and kind of settled down. And then probably my favorite part of the fight is when Raisel Iglesias finds out he's been thrown from the game. And he just decides to take a whole old goddamn bucket of sunflower seeds and then just toss him onto the field, which reignited the Seattle Mariners bench. And that caused Jesse Winker almost to pull away from somebody who was holding him back and go back out there and fight somebody else. But like, this entire situation is wild. And I mean, I think assistant pitching coach Dom Chidi, that guy got 5 games for essentially trying to hold people back from fighting other people. And that's the weird part about these brawls. When you go back and look at some of the suspensions that were handed down, obviously you can't see everything. And obviously some of this is decided based on what was said that happened versus what we saw on camera. Cause we're only seeing so much,
right?
But it's kind of wild that somebody could get 5 games for seemingly looking like a peacemaker in the middle of a fight like this.
Yeah, yeah, it was a whole mess. I think a lot of people were very entertained by it. John Boy has an incredible breakdown, as always. So we encourage you to go check out their video.
It was a real fight, though. I mean, I think that's the one thing about baseball. Yeah. You don't really get real fights in baseball. Not like this. Like you get,
yeah,
because it's always true. Over some dumb shit. Like this was some dumb shit. This was some dumb shit. I mean, do you remember the game, speaking back about Zach Gallen, where Zach Gallen just couldn't stop hitting guys?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And I mean, credit to the opposition. They did not hit one Diamondbacks player in retaliation because they could tell Zach Gallen absolutely was not doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It almost kind of never, advantage.
Like, how many times does it really happen where a team purposefully hits the opposing player and then sure. there's retaliation? Like that you could sort of understand, but there are so many situations, arguably like this one. I guess maybe it depends on who you ask. It didn't appear that on the night prior the Mariners were intentionally coming after Mike Trout's head. Of course you don't know that for sure, but Mike Trout is not a very, I don't know, it's hard to hate Mike Trout. I mean, it's hard to like want to come after him for no reason at all.
The only other guy you would do that against is Shohei Ohtani, also on the Angels. Like right. that's the only guy above Mike Trout that you would be like, how dare you? Like, I get it, because yeah. I might fight someone over throwing at Shohei Ohtani's head. So that's how I feel about that, man. And I'm sure people have similar feelings about Mike Trout, right? So I get that that's the guy in baseball and to the Angels. Mike Trout is a god. So I understand protecting him at all costs, but
yeah.
It's this weird thing in baseball where we retaliate for almost hits, and we'd retaliate for things where it seemed like it was, you know, something malicious, but then nothing really happened. Like I can't stand baseball and its unwritten rules sometimes. I can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so ridiculous, and it's adults acting like children over some shit that was most likely, like you said, there's no way to know if Mike Trout was thrown at intentionally or not. But
yeah,
you know,
could you imagine if, so I'm replaying the video of Raisel Iglesias launching this box of sunflower seeds. And I'm pretty thankful that like they were packaged, you know, like it's a box of packaged sunflower seeds. But like, what if they weren't? Like, what if he just unrolled a box? Sunflower seeds.
The and poor grounds crew out there for fucking half an hour cleaning up the sunflower seeds from the field.
Because he throws it like literally right on the field itself. So yeah, I'm just imagining this poor grounds crew and like an hour long delay while they clear up all of the sunflower seeds off the field. But still, like, kind of a hilarious moment. It's like the fight is over and then Iglesias just comes roaring out of the dugout
it's literally like he's throwing gasoline on a fire is literally what it's like. You know what I mean? Like the fire had kind of settled down and this guy's like, nope, here comes two more gallons of gasoline on it, you know?
Oh my gosh. It was entertaining. I think that, you know, there are some losers here, the guys who are suspended and whatnot, but
obviously,
but it was a pretty, there's a lot of publicity over this moment, and for baseball, that's not necessarily the worst thing in the world sometimes. So pretty crazy what happened there.
I don't know what to say. Like I said, the thing with Mike Trout, it was a critical part of the game too, right? Like it was the bottom of the ninth inning or top of the ninth or whatever, bottom of the ninth. And I mean,
the game was right at the end of the game.
Like, you're not headhunting Mike Trout at, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
like,
and the way that the Mariners celebrated after the win, too, I think was another part of it. They were like doing, I don't know, they seemed like a little bit more showy than they normally would have been,
sure.
I think is a little strange after you presumably, you know, accidentally come after Mike Trout's head. So the optics there were a little weird.
One thing I'm proud of when it comes to the Arizona Diamondbacks is them kind of staying out of situations like this. Like I have to say that again, like I referenced the Zach Gallen situation and some other situations that stuff might've boiled over, but it seemed like the Diamondbacks for the most part have tried to do things the right way and tried not to be super retaliatory or get themselves into these situations. But that wasn't the case, you know, when like Gibby was here. Like it was a different attitude and the mantra and the attitude almost seemed to be passed down a bit from the manager to the rest of the team about toughness and not taking anyone's shit and, you know, just having a different kind of mentality. Troy Lovullo does not seem like that kind of manager that passes down that kind of philosophy to his players.
No.
I think he passes down to the Diamondbacks the right way of doing things, and it's reflected on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. Troy, I mean, he's just such a people person, and he just has great relationships with basically everyone that he knows. So, part of me wonders if, you know, for people like Troy Lovullo who are just so naturally friendly and enjoy talking with people and, you know, hearing what they have to say, he's a great listener from what I can tell. He enjoys, you know, meeting basically anyone. So part of me wonders at times with, you know, situations where Torrey is going out arguing a call or something, if, you know, he has to kind of bring out this part of himself that is not necessarily part of who he is as a person. You know, I think for some managers that aspect of the game comes naturally, like they just get pissed off and, you know, there's some guys, you see them kicking around the dirt or throwing bases around. And it's like, yeah, that may genuinely be part of just kind of who they are and how they, you know, how they work through moments like that. Torrey's just not, he's not that kind of a guy. And so I wouldn't be shocked if occasionally when you see Troy Lovullo out there arguing these calls, getting really mad and up in people's faces, if it's kind of him like forcing himself to do something that is not necessarily part of his normal character.
I will say, just building on what you just said, that there is also a thought process that Troy Lovullo might not have that killer instinct, right? That competitive fire to do whatever it takes to win because he's a good guy, right?
That's and interesting. Troy Lovullo, yeah.
He cares about his players more than winning, right? So, and that's like, he does everything right. But
do you think he would say that? Do you think that Troy Lovullo would openly say, "I care about my players more than winning"? I guess you would probably try to brush it off and be like, no, I care about both. And, you know, you can do both at the same time. But
yeah,
I'm curious.
I don't know, because I've heard Torrey say some things, right? It's kind of like when Chris Paul said during this, you know, during the series with the Mavericks that infuriated everybody, that there's more to life than basketball, right? And that's coming from somebody that has experienced the highs and the lows of the game and also still has to be a regular human being that enjoys life away from it, because that's his job and he still has a life to live away from his job. I think Troy Lovullo does see the big picture a lot. And I think that Troy Lovullo would be the kind of guy that might give an answer that didn't shy away from saying he values, you know, his players more than winning.
Yeah.
He might say at the end of the day, you know, his job is to manage the players and to get the most out of them. Right. But Troy Lovullo isn't on the field. He's not contributing to the game. So all he can really do is show these guys how much he cares about them. He can, you know, do everything he can to nurture them and get the most out of them. Right. So it's not to say that people don't like playing for him or the team isn't ran well underneath him. It's just to say, like, when you say that about Torrey, it makes me wonder, because some of these other managers do have that, right? They do have that competitive fire. They do have that nastiness of, they can't wait to go out there and argue with the first base umpire and kick dirt on his shoes and do all of that shit, right? With that being said, I mean, if that was the case, Lou Piniella would be the winningest coach and manager in baseball history, right? You know, some of these guys that got angry all the time through bases and shit would be the greatest managers of all time. So I don't know. I mean, the one thing I will say about Torrey is I am proud of the way that he runs this team and cares about the players. You know, I don't know if bringing in a different manager while still spending the same amount of money and still running the team roster wise, because Torrey has no impact on that, right? Is going to yield different results with a guy that came in here maybe and is a ball buster that is emotional and fiery and competitive all the time.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that brand of manager is going out of style just a little bit. You don't see, like, are there any Lou Piniella-esque figures still in the game who have that reputation of going crazy in those moments of games?
Well, I do think there's a decorum, right? So you're right about that. We don't have managers going out there and literally, you know, once a week, fucking in the 90s, you would see a manager toss a base or do something insane. It's like you said about this game. It was entertaining. It was almost something people wanted to see, right?
Yeah.
But I will say, like, Gabe Kapler, for instance, right? He's a guy that seems to be fiery. He seems to be, like, a little bit standoffish. You know, he is there to win games, and he is there for his guys, and he doesn't give a fuck about you or anything else. He doesn't care if you like the way he manages the team. You don't care. He doesn't care if you like the fact that he doesn't play by the unwritten rules. There's none of that impacts him, right? So, I mean, that makes him a little bit of a, I guess, a fiery manager. You know, he's definitely not a diplomat when it comes to answering some of those questions about the way he manages and some of the things the Giants do. I'll just say that, again, going back through all of this stuff, I'm pretty proud of Torrey and the way he does things. It doesn't mean that what you said, I don't know. I think when Torrey went out there to defend, speaking of our guy that we've been talking about all episode long, Zach Gallen, I think he wanted to fight John Libka. I think he wanted to get tossed from that game. I think there's times where Torrey has absolutely seen enough and it boils over. I think the reaction we're getting out of him is his real reaction. I think Torrey's just good at staying calm and staying collected. I think that, you know, even when he goes out there and addresses like a bad call or some sort of thing that would happen on the field, he still does it in a very diplomatic way. Right. Mm. But not against that fucking John Libka bullshit. Torrey literally ran out there and got tossed before he even arrived at the umpire.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, if you're going to toss me before I have to say something, then I have a lot more to say to you than I was just going to say. Right. But Torrey was going to get tossed out in that situation. He was going to get tossed out of that game. And that was his intention the minute that he set foot on the field from coming out of the dugout. So, like, there are times where I think he knows that this is where I need to get the boys fired up, and I need to do something to defend my team. Luckily, we have a deep bench at manager, and I think Torrey is more comfortable than ever doing that, knowing that he has Jeff Banister there ready to manage the team and take over should he get tossed or should he even get suspended, depending on how egregious the thing he says to the home plate umpire is. But again, a lot of people being suspended. A lot of people being suspended.
47 games is the total. That's the total number of games of suspension that came out of this one incident. Crazy.
12 different individuals. Oh, that's ugly. That is ugly.
And, including one team's interpreter, which will forever confuse me.
We'll live in infamy. Only one player, Andrew Wants, is not appealing his suspension. Everybody else is.
Interesting. I mean, he's the guy who delivered the pitch. So it's going to be, he doesn't have much of an argument.
Doesn't have much of an option. Yeah, I did the thing. That's fine. Anyway, well, we appreciate you guys joining us. Of course, it is baseball season over on the DraftKings Sportsbook. If you didn't know that, get down on the DraftKings Sportsbook. Go bet on some baseball. I'm not going to tell you to bet on the Arizona Diamondbacks, that's for sure. However, maybe you might want to take a look at betting on them on that Rockies series, though I don't even know if that's a guarantee because the Diamondbacks seem to be playing better against good teams than they do against bad lately. Regardless of what you want to do, you can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use our promo code of PHNX, and guess what? Not only do you get down on the baseball action, but if you bet $5 on the upcoming UFC 276 fight, you can bet on any fighter to win and you will get $100 in free bets no matter what. Even if your guy gets the snot pummeled out of him, you will still get paid, which makes watching, you know, a guy you bet on that much more fun if he loses. But of course, that's code PHNX for new customers this Saturday at the DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. But more importantly, get down on the UFC 276 with the DraftKings Sportsbook. That fight is going to be a fun time. You can get to see, you know, you get to see more fighting. If what you enjoyed out of what we talked about today was the brawl between the Angels and the Mariners, you get to see just an entire night of that at UFC 276. Plus, they get to use fun terms like calf slicer and Peruvian necktie and all sorts of things that sound like mean and evil. And nobody, I promise you, nobody will get suspended from UFC 276 like they did in this baseball game. So again, if fighting is your cup of tea, definitely check out UFC 276 and use our code of PHNX over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Jesse, that's all I got today. I have enjoyed discussing fighting with you and suspending people. That's always fun. Of course, we will continue to monitor the Arizona Diamondbacks All-Star Game situation and see as we move closer. We are less than a month away now from that All-Star break, so be interesting to see what develops over the next 25 days. We do know that the Diamondbacks play a whole hell of a lot of NL West in that time frame. So hopefully they can come out of this stretch better than we anticipated. Things might be looking up a bit post All-Star Series break. But on behalf of Jesse and myself, we thank you guys for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. But of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you're watching us right now on your favorite, you're not watching us. We're not live. We're going to be live, though. So make sure to join us on the PHNX Sports YouTube channel next week. We'll be at 12:30 on all non-postseries games. But for the finale, make sure to join us 10 minutes after the final out. And we will be live on the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. Make sure to subscribe, sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when we go live. And also, if you're listening to us right now on your favorite audio podcasting app, subscribe to us there if you haven't done so already and leave us a 5-star review. We thank you for it. And we also thank you so much for joining us. Again, on behalf of Jesse and myself, we appreciate your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you suspend the team's interpreter.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.